just says what you'll do. You never fail, you never change. You are faithful to the end. Faithful God, I worship you. I worship you. You're too faithful to fail me. Oh, yeah. You're too faithful to disappoint me. You're proving yourself. You're proving yourself in my life. Yeah. And I come to realize you're too faithful to fail me.
You are all that matters. Good evening and welcome to our online service, Surpassing Grace Assembly, Thursday Booster Service. We give God the glory and all the praise He has even granted us worthy to see this day. We magnify His name, and I'm sure that as we go along, as we follow God, God always has an intention and purpose for every meeting, and so nothing happens by mistake. And be sure that the devil does not ever want anybody to listen to the word of God. Why? Because that's where you get your power from. That's where you get your strength from. You dig deep in the word of God. You come across the word of God. And when you get hold of that word, you have made it. Hallelujah. So it's not the devil's intention that you listen. So if you're listening right now, this is God's doing. Hallelujah. And we bless His name. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, this is Surpassing Grace Assembly Lagos. So we meet Oguru, number 37 Oguru Road, Ojota Lagos. And we come online every Thursday evening at 6 p.m. I'm sure that's why you're here. Please tell others and let other people know that God is doing something good even through this medium. It is important in this age and time that everybody understands the essence and the importance of working with God and striking a relationship with Him. And God will help us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Last week, when I was ministering the word of God, we looked at the importance of God's word, and how the sower sows the seed. And we were looking at Mark chapter 4, from verses 3 to 14. And there was a natural illustration to show that the kingdom of God works, how the kingdom of God works. Okay, in the natural world, you cannot grow a thing without a seed, and so it is in the kingdom of God. Mark 4:14. Says the sower sows the word. You need to plant the seed of God's word for it to germinate. So there is a promise. So there is a promise which the word is the seed you are planting. Hallelujah. So you get the promise, and that's the word of God and the seed that you are sowing. And you cannot expect a crop without a seed being planted. It's important. So if I am a farmer and I've not sowed a seed, I've not put seed in the ground to grow, to germinate, to grow, I do not expect a harvest. And that's what Mark 4:14 was saying. So as was the seed, and he said, "This is how the kingdom of God works." So you do not just read, like we were talking about last week. You have to meditate until that word begins to release its life. Until it begins to release its life, you continue. There's always a release in the spirit when you hit the word of God. There's always a release when you hit the mark, and that's what we're talking about. If you meditate on the word, you will know the word of God. Hallelujah, you know it. So we're going to read again Mark chapter 4. We're going to read from verse 3, and we're going to read all the way to verse 27. But before we do that, let me just continue with the recap. And I said that also you need to nurture it. It's the word of God is the incorruptible seed, as we read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So plant the word of God for God's promise. You get it from God. Hallelujah. So the promise is there, it's abundant. Hallelujah. It's just there. Hallelujah. But you need to understand it, lay hold of it, and work with it, and deal with it accordingly. And then you'll be glad you did so. God loves us, and we must move in our lives. Once we have been invited, we must move. Even through enemy, we must move, And moving means hearing the word of God. Hallelujah. Sticking with what the word of God says. We also talked about the Chinese bamboo, and I said that the Chinese bamboo farmer understands what he's going into before he begins to plant. I don't think any Chinese bamboo farmer, or any farmer for that matter, wouldn't have gone to study a crop and see if and look at the time for the crop to germinate and to progress it, and so that he can calculate his harvest. Hallelujah. So you're going to say that, I'm going to need 3 months for this. I'm going to need 9 months for this maize corn to grow. I'm going to need, like the case of the Chinese bamboo, 5 years for it to sprout out. I mean, it's an interesting tree. It's recorded, like I said last week as well, during the recap. It's recorded that when you plant it, you do not expect anything except in the fifth year. So you need to go every day, do what you need to do. So water it, make sure there are no weeds around, and do what you need to do until the fifth year when it begins to sprout. And you sprout it 40 inches in a day. And so in a month, it's going to have it's going to go 90 feet. I mean, if you calculate it, I think three feet in a day, so in a month it's going to go 90 feet. Yeah, sorry. So 3 feet in a day, in a month it's going to go 90 feet. But what is important to note is that the farmer knows what he's going into. And so he has that patience and understanding that I'm going to have to do this for 5 good years before it becomes to grow. And what is interesting also is that the Chinese bamboo doesn't just stay in the ground and refuses to shoot up. It stays there because it's growing deep its roots in the ground. And from basic science, we understand that the root is, it draws water and all the nutrients in it. So you have a tap root, it goes straight down, and then you have roots that go from the sides, fibrous roots, adventurous roots, you have all kinds of roots, okay? But all roots have the same purpose, and that is to get seed, to get nutrient for the plant to grow. And the further the taproot goes into the ground, okay, the stronger the tree is. Hallelujah. So it stands firm. So if you see a tree that is tall and firm, it's because it has a strong root. And that's what the Chinese bamboo does in all its years of preparation. And then in 5 years, it begins to grow. Hallelujah. We bless God. We give him all the praise. And so same thing we are applying. It's the same thing that we're talking about. The sower sows the word. Hallelujah. The sower sows the word. So you sow the word, you sow the seed of God's word. And you need to understand, like the Chinese farmer, how the word of God works. Amen. And you do not just pick it up in 5 minutes and say, you know what, I just want to know the word of God, and I'm fine with this word, I'm working with it. You do not prepare for war in time of war. You prepare for war in time of peace. I'm not saying there's war, don't misquote me, no sound bites. I say you prepare for war in time of peace. So if anybody is going to go to war, they prepare for war in time of peace, like I said. They build their aircraft, buy whatever they need to buy, all the ammunition, well enough, in good time. And so when war comes, they are not taken by surprise. That's not when they begin to look for what to use. And that's what we're talking about. You prepare for the year well ahead of that year. Hallelujah. You prepare for your journey well ahead of the journey. I mean, if you know there's a journey in March, you begin to prepare for it. There's a journey in February, you begin to prepare and put things together. If you're wise, hallelujah, that's what, if you're wise. But that's how we're supposed to do, we should prepare for things. So for us to understand the Word of God, we need to prepare our minds, understand how the Word of God works, and do the needful. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 4. And I'm going to read again. I'm going to read from verse 3. And I'm going to read through it very quickly, so because of time, but it's important that we go through it. Verse 3 says, "Akin, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up, and some fell on the stony ground, where it had not much earth, and it immediately sprung up, because it had no depth of earth." So note that some fell on stony ground, and because there was not much earth, the root was just there on stony ground, it wasn't deep in the ground, and immediately it sprang up, because he had no depth of earth. Verse 6 says that, "But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because he had no root, it withered away." Importance of the root again. Importance of the root. Because he had no root, it withered again. So if anything is developing your root, you need to be patient for it. Because when the storms come, when the times, the testing times come, the trials come, that which is well rooted is what is going to stand. Verse 7 says, "And some fell among thorns, and thorns grew up and choked it, and yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100. And he said unto them, He that has ear, let him hear. And when he was alone, then they were about with him, the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins be forgiven. And verse 6 says, And said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And now then will ye know all parables. The sower soweth the word." Hallelujah. The sower soweth the word. Amen. So the sower sows the seed of the word of God. Amen. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are likewise they are sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in them, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Hallelujah. Note that. So when word falls on stony ground, it says that those are the ones that hear the word, and they immediately receive it with gladness, with joy. Hallelujah. But the word has no roots in themselves. Hallelujah. And so it endures but for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. So what does that mean? It tells us that, you know, when you get the word of God, you need to meditate on it. Think deep about what the word of God is. Ruminate on it. Get to understand the word of God. Because a persecution will arise for the word's sake. So I am the head and not the tail. Persecution will arise and test that word that you understand, that you say you understand. It will test it, and peradventure there's no root of that word in you. It says, when affliction or persecution arises, verse 17, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. So they get fed up, they get angry with God and said, this word is not working. No. It's because they have not done the right thing. Hallelujah. And to do the right thing, it takes a relationship with God. So you take working with God, a relationship with God, knowing him in and out, and understanding his word. The Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So you cannot get fed up of hearing the word of God. You cannot get tired of hearing that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You cannot get tired of hearing that by his stripes I am healed. Hallelujah. You cannot, because persecution will arise for the sake of the word that you have. Hallelujah. And if that word has no root in you, then there's going to be a problem. Hallelujah. Then you are going to get offended. Then you are going to say, this word doesn't work. But God does not lie. Titus 1 and verse 2. He cannot lie. So the word of God is there, is consistent. You have to get to the point where you are consistent with the word of God. Hallelujah. So two cannot work together except they agree. So you want to work with the word of God, you have to agree with that word of God. Hallelujah. You have to agree with the originator of the word. Amen. And then walk in that line. Hallelujah. And then verse 18, it says, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and becomes unfruitful. Okay, I'll take that again. It says, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering choke the world, and it becomes unfruitful. We need to be careful about the worries of life. We need to be careful. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and every other thing will be added unto you. So we need to place our priorities right when we're working with God. We need to place our priorities right when it comes to our life. Hallelujah. Amen. So why are you working with God? Are you working with Him for the things you want to get? Or you're working with Him for who He is? Hallelujah. Because if you be like Moses, okay, you know the way of God, and not be like the Israelites that know the acts of God. So the man that knows the way of God would always bring the act of God to the people that want the act of God. Hallelujah. So you are able to, it's just like talking about you, someone comes to you and needs something, he needs, and you keep giving him, and someone comes to you and he needs something, and then you show him how to get that thing by himself. You teach him to fish and not give him fish. That's what we are talking about. So the cares of this world has the ability to choke the word. Okay? So you hear the word, you're not paying attention to what God is saying. You're not paying attention to what the word is saying. You just receive it, and then you go. And then when the cares of this world come, they are like thorns, okay? They are weeds. They come and they choke the word, okay? You're unable to uproot, if you do not uproot the weeds, okay, or you do not push them aside, the word is not going to have root that it's supposed to have, and it's not going to come forth and bear the promise that it has been sent to. Remember, I said, we read Titus 1, Titus 1 and verse 2 that talks about the fact that God cannot lie. Okay, He cannot lie. It's just not in Him to lie. So this world is not working. And I've heard, He said, it's just that God's always talking about it. No. It's not about the people that are talking about it. It's about what you are doing about the word that you are hearing people talk about. Are you like a Berean Christian? Okay, are you like a Berean that will hear the word, go back, search the scriptures, turn it in and out, and then begin to work with what you get from the scriptures? Hallelujah. So it's one thing for you to hear the word, hallelujah, and it's another thing for you to nurture the word of God. Amen. All these things we talked about last week. So we talked about, well, last week we talked about the centurion, and then we talked about Thomas, you know. The centurion had the word, and he told the master, I just need you to send your forth your authority. I don't need you to come physically. He understood it. He had faith in God's word. And that's what we are talking about. So let me continue in Mark chapter 4. And it says in verse 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. Hallelujah. And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing in it which shall not be manifested. Neither was anything kept secret, but it should become abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what you meet, with measure you meet, will be measured to you. And unto you that hear, more shall be given. Hallelujah. Unto you that hear, more shall be given. That's the word of God. Amen. Unto you that hear, more shall be given. Hallelujah. So I said that earlier, I said the Bible says that we should give attention to the word of God. There's a difference between hearing and paying attention. Hallelujah. Okay? Let him hear. If any man has hear, let him hear. And then he said unto them, take heed what you hear. As pay attention to what you hear. Hallelujah. I mean, in a football match, okay, or in a stadium where a football match or any match is going on, for instance, there are a lot of people there. You have the key players, the 11 for the football team, the 11 players on this side, the 11 players on that side, and you have the referee, and you have the assistant referee. And then you have the coaches on the sideline, and then you have the substitute on the sideline, okay? And then you have the fans in the stadium, okay? And everybody's talking at the same time, okay? Everybody's talking at the same time. But to the players on the field, the most important person at that point, at any point in time on the field, is the man at the center. At the center of it all, is you that I see. Is you that I see. The most important person in a football match to the players is the man at the center. If he blows his whistle, then they stop. If he raises his card, then they obey. Either it's a yellow card a red card. If you get a yellow card, you're going to comport yourself. You're going to behave yourself all through the match, trying to avoid a second one that will send you out of the match. Because you have a vision, there's a target. And the aim of every team that goes to the field, forget the ones that lose, hallelujah, is that they get there and they win. That's the aim. Apparently, let me get the 3 points, okay? That's the aim. But everything that they do is centered around the man in the center of the field, okay? The man in the center of the field. If the linesman raises his flag, the man at the center has the capacity, the audacity, the power to say, you know what, I disregard what the man on the side is saying because his word is final. And so every player listens, okay? They listen to the play, to the man in the center. Why am I saying that? Because the man at the center has his whistle. And then fans come into the stadium and they have their own whistle. Everybody's blowing and then they're jeering. Fans have their own perception of a foul. The referee has the definition of a foul with him. Hallelujah. That's not to say some fans don't understand as well as the referee. But he's the one at the center. He's the one that is looking at everything. And whatever he says is final. Okay? But the players distinguish the whistle of the referee from the whistle of the fans. They distinguish the noise. They take it to what they hear. That's what I'm trying to say. Verse 24 of Mark 4. He says, take it what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear, more shall be given. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 25 says, for he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he has. Amen. So I'm saying that the players, they take the whistle of the referee, they distinguish it from all other whistles blowing in the stadium. I think there was the World Cup in South Africa. The problem everybody had was because of the vuvuzela. They said that the noise was so much that the players won't be able to pick the whistle, the sound of the whistle of the referee. But that didn't happen because their attention was there. They were tuned. That's how you have to tune your ear and your heart to God's word. Hallelujah. You have to tune it in such a way that you can decipher it and you can filter out every other thing that is noise. Amen. Every other thing is noise. The man at the center is most important. When you put God at the center of everything, his word is more important than every other thing. So it won't be like his word is going among thorns because you're not giving attention to these thorns. Okay, I need this, I need that. I have a meeting, I'm going for a meeting. There's this thing to be done. Of course, there's place for everything. Hallelujah. But I mean, make your priorities. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you have a meeting and then drop your meeting and say you are following God's word. No. You do that which you have to do at the right time, and then you go for that which you have to go for. It's just that much. But you do not allow all those other things to choke the word from you, of God in your life. It is important that you keep to that and keep it at the very, very, very center of your heart. It's important. Amen. So it says that the more you hear, the more that will be given to you. Why? So when you are reading the word of God, Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So when you read the word of God, you are getting more and more. So you open the first whatever chapter, you get God speaks to you, and he directs you to another chapter. Hallelujah. You pick it up, and then you can link the two of them together, and then you move on. That's what the word of God is talking about. So he says to him that hears, the more is given for you to hear, because you are making good use of that. You are digging deep. The psalm says, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You cannot get hold of a portion of God's word and be satisfied. Hallelujah. Because when you read a portion of God's word, what it does is that it opens up your appetite. Hallelujah. It opens up your appetite, and there's a craving for more. More, more, more. That's how you grow your root deep in God. That's how you grow your root deep in God. There's a craving for more and more and more and more. And when you get more of it, you are the better for it. Hallelujah. Amen. And when persecution comes, you won't be like the man in verse 17. You won't be like them that they just get fed and they get offended. No. You get to understand that though it tarry, Habakkuk 2, verse 2, though it tarry, wait for it, it will not delay. Amen. You get to understand it because you have the word of God and you understand the man, the one at the center of the word. Hallelujah. Amen. And verse 26 says, and he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow he himself does not know how. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, and the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night, and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. So what are we talking about? Verse 26 is saying that you, that the one that sows the word, does exactly what the word is expects him to do. Okay, so you're a farmer. You get your seed and you scatter it on the ground. Okay, you do all the earth you have to do. Even as a farmer, you have to have the belief that what you have done is right, and then the God will cause increase. Hallelujah. That's what the farmer does. He does everything he needs to do, and then he prays unto God, believing that his harvest will come. Okay, how the harvest comes, how the all that happens in this world happens, the farmer has no input to it, except the fact that he has to sow the seed. Hallelujah. And then he rises by day, by night. He sleeps, go to bed by night. He rises by day, go to bed by night, rise by day. And he expects that what each the seed should sprout and grow. But he himself does not know how it's going to happen. That's exactly what happens. And that's what the Bible says there. And the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed. Okay? It says, for the earth yields crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after the full grain. Hallelujah. So when you sow the seed of the word of God, it is God that causes that seed to germinate. Hallelujah. It's God that causes the promises of that thing to come by. Okay? It has nothing to do with the things that you do. Amen. It has nothing to do with your worry. It has nothing to do. It is just simple as obeying his word and doing the things that has asked you to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Some say it's difficult to follow God's word. It's difficult to do the things that they ask you to do. No. You have to understand that once you are digging deep in the word, like we read in verse 24, verse 25, once you are digging in the word of God, okay, it's not going to be a wonder for you anymore. It's going to just be that you are doing the things and then more is given unto you. You say, take you what you hear. With the measure you use, it will measure to you. So if you take the word of God lightly, that's the measure that is going to come to you. Just receive things lightly. Hallelujah. Because in the first instance, you do not expect anything. So if you don't expect, then there's nothing to, there's no result. He says, and then with the same measure you use, it will measure to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. Hallelujah. Amen. For whoever has to him, more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Why will what he has will be taken away from him? Because the thorns around are there to snuff out life from that world. In quote, life from that world. In quote, the cares of this world will distract you, and then you begin to follow the cares of this world, and then come to naught. And then you begin to hear this word of God that was always making noise about it. We are not making noise. Hallelujah. The word of God advertises itself. Hallelujah. The word of God advertises itself through us that believe. Amen. Hallelujah. And so in verse 28, it says, for each for the earth yields crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after the full grain in the head. So there's a progression. Okay, there's a progression. What happens in the soil, we do not know. Science will tell us what happens. But science does fail. Hallelujah. But God never fails. Amen. And sometimes even the conditions that we have marked out, because God wants it to happen, we don't fulfill all conditions, and yet there's a fruit. That's because of the word of God. Hallelujah. There's a fruit. That's because of the word of God. Amen. He says, first the blade, then the head, then the full grain. So as we walk with God, as we read his word on a daily basis, as you grow your roots in him, then expect there's going to be a progression. Hallelujah. There's going to be a progression. So that's you have to wait for it through, though it tarry, you have to wait for it. It will not delay. God is working on something, and you need to align yourself with God so that you will see things through the eye of God. Hallelujah. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 16 to 18, it says, now when people take an oath, they call on something greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, that oath is binding. Also, God also bound himself with an oath, so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. Amen. Verse 17, Hebrews 6:17. God also bound himself with an oath, so that those who received the promise would be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. God has given us both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable, because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and worthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain in God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone in there for us. He has become an eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, therefore, in verse 18, he says, so God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable. God's promise and his oath. His promise comes by his word. Hallelujah. And these two things are unchangeable, because it is impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for him to lie. So he doesn't have that ability to lie. Hallelujah. So he's God trying to lie. He doesn't have the ability. So even if he tries, he can't. He says it's impossible for him to lie. That's the same thing that is written in Titus chapter 1, verse 2. He can't lie. He says, therefore, those of us that have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. The word of God is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain in God's inner sanctuary. Hallelujah. Amen. So we have to be receptive to God's word. You need to receive God's word, mix it with faith, hallelujah, and do the needful in it. Look at in Luke chapter 5, the reception of God matters a lot. Everyone has a seed to sow. Everyone sowed the seed, but not all sowed appropriate to yield the desired reward. Okay? We have to receive God's word appropriately. You receive it, so let your heart be a fertile ground. So let it be a fertile soil. You receive it, and then let it have its root in you, and then you will see that promise come to pass. Because we have read in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17, he cannot lie. He has sworn by his promise, hallelujah, and then he has also made an oath. So he's bound, okay? And these things are unchangeable. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 5, I'm going to read from verse 15. Luke chapter 5. It says, but so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. I'm talking about the fact that when you receive the word of God is out there, but how you receive it matters. We read about it in Mark chapter 4. We read about it in verse 18, verse 17, verse 16. We read about the different kind of soils. Hallelujah. Which we can liken to our hearts. Hallelujah. We receive it. It does fall there, it doesn't grow root, and then the sun comes, and then the word just dies. Some receive it, and they're happy, they jump up, and they're like, wow, this is great, hallelujah. The cares of the world comes, and then it goes up. And then some receive it, okay, and then they nurture it. As it goes deep, and then it multiplies, some 24, some 30, some 50, some 60, some 70. God is not a partial human being. Hallelujah. He will do for you what he will do for me under the same circumstance. And that circumstance is our faith. Hallelujah. We have the word of God. We have faith that has been given to us. What we do with the faith we have is what makes the difference. That's why I receive whatever I receive, and you receive whatever you receive. There is nothing, there is no partiality in God in that. Hallelujah. Under the same circumstance, he will do for you and I the same thing. Hallelujah. Because when we are dealing with him, we hold on to his word, okay? And then we deal with the word according to the word, okay? So Luke chapter 5, this is interesting. It says in from verse 15, it says, but so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came to hear and to be healed of him by their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of law sitting by, which had come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of God was present to heal them. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 5 from verse 17. And the word of God was present to heal them. But only one man got healed. We all know that story. Okay? Only one man got his healing. Hallelujah. And what's the difference? Why would only one man get his healing? Because he was the only one that acted upon his faith. Amen. He was the only one that acted upon his faith. The word of God, it says the power of God was present to heal. And yet the Bible records that only one man got healed. So they got there. They found out that there was a whole lot of crowd around him. But they had heard, in verse 15, it says his fame went abroad. So they knew. The Bible tells us he went about doing good. Everywhere he went about doing good. That's what the Bible talks about. And that's what the Bible tells us. So so everybody there knew that he could heal. And everybody there knows who they came to see. Hallelujah. But this man and his friends understood what they wanted from him. Amen. They understood the fact that, you know what, we need to get to him. We need to get his attention. Hallelujah. Amen. So you are sitting there and just listening, and you are not processing the word of God properly. That's a problem. You're probably going to go back and you get offended because the word of God is not having a root in you. This man that was sick with palsy, he was sick, and then his friends let him down through the roof. And when he got into the roof, I'm going to read that portion again from verse 18. And behold, men brought him in a bed a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and lay him before him. And when they could find not a way by which they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down, the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Hallelujah. So they made all effort. Okay? You make all that effort. You read the word of God. You are digging it on the word of God. You are digging deep. You are looking at it. And then you are asking questions. You are asking questions. You are comparing notes. Okay? You are moving from one level of understanding to another level of understanding. You are mixing the word of God with faith. That's what these people did. And that's what is written here. It says in verse 20, and when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are made whole. What was their faith? They had looked at it. They could not go in through the door. Okay? They looked at it and said, the best way to go in is through the roof. And what could be propelling them? It's because they believed that if they could get him before Christ, if we get the attention of Jesus Christ, then that problem will be solved. And Christ saw their faith. Hallelujah. The Bible does not record that he saw their works. Hallelujah. He saw their faith. It was their faith that drove them to do everything else that they did. Okay? And then to bring him down before Jesus. Hallelujah. And so he saw their faith and he said, your sins are forgiven thee. And then it is recorded that the scribe says, who can forgive sins but God alone? And Jesus perceived their thoughts and answered them, what reason do you have in your hearts? Which one is easier to say, that sins are forgiven, or to say, rise up and walk? And then in verse 25, he said, and immediately he rose before them, took up that which he lay upon, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, right, the guy saw his faith and said, your sins are forgiven. The man immediately got up. He got his healing by his faith. Hallelujah. But his faith was from the word. Hallelujah. Because it says his fame had gone ahead. I mean, words had gone ahead that, oh, God is here. God is doing good. God is doing this. Jesus is doing his healing. Hallelujah. He had gone ahead. And then, then they said, okay, we're going to look for Jesus. So we're going to work on his word. This word, this is what we know, this much we know about him, that this is what he does. Yeah, Christ has come. He has come, he has died for our sins. What else are we looking for except to hold on to that, the author and the finisher of our faith? In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 to 2, it says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise be left us of entering into the kingdom, and any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not been mixed with faith in them that heard it. Wow, hallelujah. I thought the word was so powerful. The word of God, it makes everything happen. Hallelujah. Here it says that in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Hallelujah. Amen. That word of God is very, 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 very important. But as important as it is, you need to mix it with faith. Luke chapter 5, from verse 15 all the way to verse 25 shows us an example of faith. The power of God was present to you. It's the power of God. It was present to you. I mean, the people should just fall under the anointing and get their healing. But you need that ingredient of faith. And faith, in Romans 10, verse 17, comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And when you hear the word of God, the Bible has likened it to a man that sows the seed. You must sow it on the appropriate soil. Hallelujah. And you must give it the right attention that it deserves, that it desires, that it deserves, so that you can get the result that we need from it. Hallelujah. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside that they hear it, that then the devil comes, according to Luke chapter 8, verse 11, and takes away the word of God, they should believe, and let them believe and be saved. The word that you preach did not profit them because they did not mix with faith and heard it. So if you look at your life, for instance, you went to a particular meeting and then you got saved. Not everybody got saved at that meeting, but you got heard the word of God, then you got saved. Hallelujah. You mixed that word with faith and you got that promise of salvation. Some heard it and had no faith, and then nothing happens to them. Hallelujah. But then Hebrews 2 says, the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Okay? So, we have to adhere to God's stated facts, God's right scene of reality. And it doesn't matter how much you read about it, it won't help us or change us one bit. And what was spoken in Hebrews and of the Israelites spoken was, the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. To mix the word with faith means to personally appropriate it, to read the promises and take over them. God wants a living, breathing faith relationship with each one of us. So we need to cooperate with Him. Okay? We can go on believing that the gospel is fire insurance. Okay? Christ died and paid my debt sin so that I could go to heaven. But we should not miss the real fact that God wants us to cooperate with Him in making our lives a fitting home for Him and for the Creator of the universe. Okay? So we need to mix it with faith. And you cannot have faith if you do not have the Word of God. Okay? Hallelujah. Yeah. So in Romans chapter 4, verse 20, it says, "He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God." That's talking about Abraham. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. You have to be strong in faith. That is the essence of growing your root in God. You have to be strong in faith. You have to dig. You have to get your root in that word. Dig it in that word and stay firm in it. Hallelujah. Do not build your house on a rock. Hallelujah. On a strong foundation. And don't not bring it on a swamp that has no foundation. Amen. So that when the trials come, you can stand the test of time. Caleb, in the face of contrary reports of the other spies, said, "Let us go up and possess the land, for we are well able to overcome it." He knew God's promise, okay? He saw the circumstance, and then he mixed that promise with faith. Hallelujah. He mixed that promise, which is in the form of word, and he mixed it with faith. Then he relied on God's stated fact that more than what he saw. Okay? That's the case of life. We will see different things. Look at the things that we see. And there are bills to pay. There's persecution at work. There's problem all over. No. At the center of it all, there's a man that holds the whistle, and it's that whistle that you need to hear. Hallelujah. You need to hear the word of God. Hallelujah. And it comes with training. Okay? That's why sometimes when people go for a World Cup, they come back and they lose. They say there's an experience that comes with it. Okay, there's an experience that comes with them, a competition, an experience that comes with it. That's how you have to treat the Word of God. Okay, the good ground is a hearing heart, a heart that not only hears with his ear, but ruminates, chews, and digests what is at hand, and mixes that head word with faith, reliance, trust, abiding, and resting. Okay, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 to 11 says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man shall fall after the same example of unbelief." Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So, as we labor to enter his rest, not as a works, is a faith labor, we begin to cease from our own works, our own ways of coping with life, our manipulations, giving ourselves a pat on the back and say, "We have done it this way, I'm a self-made person. No, it is our faith labor that is important. Hallelujah. And you know, the important thing is also that if you do a faith labor, it's going to teach you the things to do in the physical to get to where you ought to get to. Amen. So if you ought to be in a place at a particular point in time, you're being used to the word of God, or you're being familiar with, don't get it wrong, because if I use that word familiar, some people just take it for being, taking it as being, taking God's word for granted. No, but you being familiar with God's word, you are able to dissect within you, okay, and to get, receive in your spirit where you ought to be at a particular point in time, where you ought to do at what you ought to do at a particular point in time. So you have a particular line of business and things are about to change, and the Spirit of the Lord is nudging you and saying, "Go learn about this, go learn about this," and then you are not learning. Then why are you reading the Word of God if you are not going to learn and do what the Word of God says? That's what I'm saying. So we need to understand that faith, our faith in God, He gives us direction. Hallelujah. Amen. He will give us direction when we are walking with Him. He will give us an understanding of what we ought to do at every point in time when we are walking with Him. So it's not a matter of, "I have faith," and then you sit down and you fold your arms. No. You have faith because you are going to dig your root deep, and so that you can have multiple fold of returns. Hallelujah. So that when the cares of this world, when they come, because they will surely come. Hallelujah. It says, "You will pass through fire, it will not burn you. You pass through the waters, you won't get drowned. They will come." But what is important is that you have a firm root in Him. Hallelujah. You have to mix the word of God with faith, that which separated you in the beginning. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2 says, "Unto us the gospel was preached as well as unto them." So what separated you from them, those that did not hear those that did not take to the gospel that was preached to them then, was that the word that preached did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith or in them that heard it. Well, at that point where you heard it, you mixed it with faith. Hallelujah. That which brought you into the faith line, okay, into the gospel light, is the same thing that will keep you there. Okay, the word of God, you mix it with faith. Hallelujah. And that faith will lead to an action, because when you heard this gospel, you mixed it with faith. That mix is an action word. You heard it, you looked at it, you mixed it with faith, and then you walked with it, and then you accepted Christ. It's the same way when you continue to walk with Him. You will hear it, you mix it with faith, and then life becomes a lot better. So you don't just say that, "I believe God for this, I believe God for that," and then you're not doing anything. When you believe God for it, then you are going to walk. Hallelujah. Because God is going to tell you what to do. If He says you should sit, then you sit. If He says, "No, you leave where you are and go to where this place is." I mean, He told Isaac, stay here, there's famine, but He told him to stay here. Hallelujah. That's what faith does for you. It gives you direction. You are not just staying there because you chose to stay there, because God told Isaac to stay there. That's why you are staying in the land of famine. No. What if God is telling you to go somewhere else and do something else? You need to be at that point where you hear Him, and you hear Him clearly. So this year is a year that you need to go back to the basics. Okay? You heard the gospel, some also heard it with you, but they did not mix it with faith, and then it did not profit them. So you heard the gospel, you mix it with faith, and it profited you. How was the profit? You have salvation, you have the life of Christ. Hallelujah. Then you ought to also continue in that faith. Hallelujah. The Word of God can either, you cannot overemphasize the importance of the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. It is our way of life and it has to always be. Hallelujah. The men of faith that we read in the Bible, okay, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of them heard the Word of God. All of them had faith and all of them did walk according to that faith. Hallelujah. Amen. So be sure that in the beginning, at the beginning of everything, in the beginning of everything, and at the beginning of every year, in the beginning of this year, and as we have a new beginning, then you need to walk in faith. Hallelujah. And your faith is not hearsay. It is one that comes by hearing and hearing and hearing again. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 4 said it and says, for them that heard, hallelujah, then they will hear more. They will hear more because there will be an insight to the Word of God. Amen. There will be more and more that is revealed. Hallelujah. Amen. So there will be more and more that will be revealed. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and verse 26, and it says that the kingdom is as of a man who should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow himself does not know how. For the earth yields crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, and then the full grain. Hallelujah. So there's a progression. Let your relationship in God have a progression. Let it not die at the fact that you accepted the gospel with faith. Hallelujah. That's a prophecy. But there's more to it than that. Hallelujah. It says, first the blade, then the head, and after the full grain. And when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Amen. So even when you have the blade and the head, okay, and the full grain in the head, it doesn't mean that the grain is ripe. Amen. There's a waiting time in the things of God. It says, so there's a waiting time in the things of God. So please, let that be. So you must nurture, like the farmer, plant, water, nurture, and pray for a good harvest. Hallelujah. Because the harvest will surely come. Mix it with faith. Remember the story of the man with palsy. The power of God was present to you, but not everybody was got you. Mark 4 says, and verse 24, he said to them, take it what you hear, with the measure you use, it will measure to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has to him, more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Amen. So it is important that you hear and you hear right. Pay attention to God who is at the center of it all. Amen. There's nothing that was made without him. So he knows the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. And everything in between. So mix your faith. Okay. Mix the faith, the Word of God, with faith and wait for it. Hallelujah. There is a progression, and there is a time and a season for everything. In Psalm 1, it says, in Psalm 1, it talks about the man, the righteous man, that bears fruit in his season. Hallelujah. Psalm 1, verse, let me pick it up. Okay, it says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the Lord doth he meditate. And it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So in verse 2, he delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. The law, the Word of God, he meditates day and night. And it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in the season. Hallelujah. So the righteous man has his fruit, okay, and he has a season. So the man that walks with the Word of God will bear fruit. Hallelujah. And then his faith will make him bear fruit with that word. Amen. But there is a season. And then if you understand that there is a season, then you continue to walk in that faith and you do not grow weary. Hallelujah. And God will make his word come to pass. He cannot lie. He has sworn by his promises and by his hope. And those two things are unchangeable. And you need to hold on to it. And the Lord will bless you indeed in Jesus' name. I believe that you will be blessed. I'm sure that God indeed will cause his word to multiply on the inside of you. Mix it with faith, and there will be a prophecy for you in Jesus' name. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory. Thank you for yet another wonderful opportunity to hear your word. Thank you for our faith grows as we hear your word daily. We will not get tired of it. We pay attention to it, and then we get more and more of you in Jesus' name. Thank you, everlasting King of glory. Let your name be magnified in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. See you again on Sunday, 8:30 a.m. Join us on this same channel, on Facebook, and on MixLR for the Word of God. God bless you.